Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 781. The topic is training and the title is, What If I Miss My Lift? No! this does happen from time to time. We will miss a specific exercise, like in regards to maybe a weight load we were going for. I think that's probably the most common. But then people will sometimes miss rep ranges. So maybe they were supposed to do something for, 10 to 14 reps and they only got 7. Maybe they were supposed to get 3 and they only got 1. but more so it's common where somebody's supposed to lift a certain amount of weight and they either just can't get to it that day, or they try it and they physically fail the lift, or it looks like absolute trash, but they tried to power through and get through it anyhow. So recently that happened to one of my clients. They are a personal trainer themselves, so they understand this stuff in regards to how they would answer it for their clients, but they need some self-love. They need some self-care, some grace. And they need to tell themselves the same thing, so I'm telling it to them. So it's fun working with personal trainers because they're insanely driven people, and it's fun to then be able to give them back the advice that they often are telling their clients as well. So it's just, we always kind of laugh back and forth about how great we would be if we listened to our own advice. So they sent me an email, and it basically said, missed my prescribed numbers, rough weekend, I had to travel for a seminar, I missed food, I missed sleep, but no excuses, I will do better next time. Sorry. So I immediately replied back, don't you ever tell me you're sorry, you did your freaking best, you don't ever owe me sorries. Now, you would owe me sorries if you didn't try your best, but thankfully I work with people who don't ever not try their best. I'm very blessed. I worked a very long time in this field, so I've been personal training for 18 years. And I am at the point now where I am blessed and grateful, and I don't ever want to take it for granted, but I do get to pick who I work with now, which is just, such an amazing place to be. But one of the best parts of it is the clients I have worked their ass off, and I know that. I know they will, otherwise I wouldn't have worked with them. So that's why I told this person they don't ever owe me a sorry, because they did a 12-hour seminar, probably missed all their food, probably no sleep, but then they still went and tried the workout. So that's going to be something where I know that their intent to be their best was there. Therefore, they never have to apologize. So got that out of the way first. the next thing is, food and sleep absolutely will affect your training if you don't have good sleep. Now, one night may or may not, you'll notice a difference. It depends on how significant that was and when your training was. So if it was a short night's sleep, but you're up in the morning and you're ready to go, you might be okay with it. Whereas later in the day, you might start to feel fatigued and it wouldn't have went well. Also, sometimes we can just be running on cortisol and stress, adrenaline and whatnot. And sometimes we can fudge a good day, even when it shouldn't have been, in like a random one case scenario. But if you have back-to-back multiple days of bad sleep, it really, really will downgrade your pain tolerance, which can sometimes be why you don't reach the rep count you want, especially higher rep ranges. And it can kind of downgrade your nervous system aggression, which will be why you will miss kind of heavier weight loads. Also, if you've been training on the consecutive days of lower and lower sleep, you're getting less and less recovery between those workouts. So a work volume over the span of, say, 5 days of what you could normally do lessens by the 4th and 5th day because you haven't recovered as well. Therefore, you're coming into each workout more and more fatigued than normal. So sometimes at the end of the week, you may not be able to hit your prescribed numbers because you haven't properly recovered from the beginning of the week. That's something to always just be aware of. So if I knew that was happening, say I didn't sleep well over the course of 5 days because I had a trip or I was doing something, I would lower my expectations for myself on the fourth and fifth day. Not to the point, obviously, where I'm going to sit on the couch and eat ho-hos and say that's okay. You know, oh, I'm recovering. No, you're not. You're getting fat and you're lazy. So what we want to do is lower our expectations, as in if I'm supposed to hit a prescribed number. So maybe you're supposed to, you know, squat 405. Well, let me work my way up to it. And if today 365 feels like crap, I'm probably going to stay there. I'm not going to try to force a number that my body is not ready for. So that's very important. Also, trying to force specific numbers when you have not had full recovery puts you at extreme risk of severe injury, but it actually starts to kind of build up small, acute little injuries a lot faster. So all of a sudden your elbow kind of bothers you, or like a knuckle in your finger feels more achy than normal. The body just kind of gets chewed up and doesn't get full recovery, and you can start having those small little aches and pains. So if you try to lift something too heavy and you're moving out of position, you can create some wear and tear on tissues and connective tissues and joints that are going to have more of a negative effect in terms of pain and inflammation. So the other thing is, if you're low on food, that's going to happen. That's going to have an effect as well. If we're slow on food, we're not getting, obviously, the recovery, because food is what we recover with. Sleep is when we recover. So if I'm not getting enough food, doesn't matter how much sleep I'm getting, I'm not recovering anything. There's no material to recover with. So anytime you're missing one of these two, you're going to be kind of at a negative impact. Is it? Obviously, if you miss both, you're screwed. But if you just try to out-eat lack of sleep, that can work okay for like energy in the moment, but it does have an accumulative effect to where you're not getting all the recovery from the food you're eating anyhow, because the body doesn't have time to do the recovery. So it is recommended, of course, that if you're going to be low on sleep, try to increase your food, because you're up and active more because you're not sleeping. So you're going to need more energy to maintain that activity level and reduce some of the stress effect, the negative effect of running your body on low sleep. So it does help that if you're missing sleep, to eat more, especially protein. And if you're kind of missing food, does it help to sleep more? Sure, but that's not typically something that people are going to be able to impact or use the balance in that way. So, real quick though, before we move on, one of the ways in which you can kind of fudge your way through a workout when you're low on food and low on sleep is to use pre and intra workout drinks. So get some sugars in your face right before you work out. Drink sugars while you're working out. One of the main reasons why that can help is just from hydration. If you're low on food, low on sleep, you're probably in a condition where you're dehydrated, and that's going to have a more negative impact on your workout than anything. So I would get a lot of hydration and a lot of sugars. So anytime I'm traveling, and I know that this might be the case for myself, I'll drink a thing of Gatorade, like a 32-ounce or 16-ounce or something I can get my hands on. I'll drink a thing of Gatorade or sweet tea or something like that before the workout, and I'll even drink another one while I work out. So it wouldn't be uncommon for me to drink a half a gallon of Gatorade, counting the pre and intra workout drinks. It allows me to do great even when I'm traveling. It helps with hydration, even for digestion and reducing water retention. So it's very, very helpful to make sure you drink a lot of fluids. And if you're low on food and low on sleep, drink the fluids that have sugars, because that'll help a lot. You can also use kind of extreme motivation tactics. What in the world is that? EMT. So you need an EMT for this workout. Our first responders, I guess, of tough workouts. If you don't normally train with a training partner, that can help with accountability. If you're slack ass, they can call you out on that, or you won't want to look like a slack ass, so you'll push harder than you normally would. You can even use freaking, like, I've put ice packs on my belly, ice packs on my upper back, icer packs on just uncomfortable, weird places we don't normally want ice. That sounds weirder than I intended it to. You can put ice wherever you want, but there are less weird places. So, moving on, is putting ice packs on you can help wake you up and kind of get you going. Done that for myself, done it with clients at Powerlifting Meets and whatnot. You can use smelling salts if you want to, just to get freaking wake up and get through a workout. You can do, you know, loud music, aggressive music. You can maybe if you're stressed, you might want just some, you know, good old Motown, some funk, some things you can get in a groove to. But just some more things. You might have to pay attention more to motivational tactics like emotional, mental stimulation in that way. Okay, so now what I wanted to get to, and now that we are 9 minutes and 50 seconds into the podcast, I'll get to the actual answer I wanted to talk about, was what happens if we do miss a lift? Well, we want to ask ourselves, what was the purpose of that lift? Typically, if we're going for a prescribed number, it's typically going to be because you're doing strength-based training. What develops our strength? There are three main areas, and this is all arguable, but let's just kind of stick within this framework, that there are three main areas to building strength. There's technical, physical, and mental. In order to get stronger, or at least in order to display the strength I have to have good technique. Then once my technique is perfect, how can I get, you know, any stronger than that would be to increase physical strength. So technique and physical make sense. If I want to be stronger, I have to improve my technique so I can show my strength. If I want to be stronger, I have to get physically stronger. Duh. And then mindset is one, because a lot of times people are uncomfortable at big weights. They're scared of big weights. You know, what if this, what if that? And they kind of get in their own mind. So too often people are mentally held back from displaying their best strength. And that can be something that they have to work on. I've had to do this with a lot of clients, and that's actually one of the things that I get sought out for, which is really kind of cool. I've gotten to work with a couple CrossFit coaches because they wanted to learn how to do one rep maxes when that got popular in CrossFit games, but they were not used to one rep maxes, so it used to scare them a lot and their form would go to crap. So I had a couple clients who got to go to the CrossFit games and stuff, and we worked on kind of mental aggression and mental comfort, even with big weights. So super fun stuff. I love that kind of stuff. And that's all kind of just, we talk about it in person. We go through the exercises. We work on even technique things, physical things, you know, just kind of all the arsenal we can to make them perform better. So I really enjoy that. I love that. But recently my mother has actually been working on her mental strength. So she's 62 years old. She's a badass. She's done multiple aesthetic competitions, like bodybuilding kind of shows. And she's done multiple powerlifting meets. She never touched a weight till she was 47. She did her first bodybuilding show when she was 50. Since then, she's just amazing and kicks ass every day. But one of the things she's been working on recently is she's been working her squat back up to what had been her previous best. She kind of got off of it because she went into like trying to do aesthetic stuff and like just craziness of life. Kind of backed off on her peak strength-based training, meaning kind of like refining the technique, keeping the technique. She got into doing a bunch of other training and this and that. So the strength is still there and she's still building up on it, but she's getting back to her best squat, best bench, and best deadlift. And she's been working on the mental strength because her mental comfort, especially with squats, has always been kind of a hard thing for us. She was always physically able to lift her very top weights, but something in her mind would kind of throw her confidence off and she would miss the lift. And then all of a sudden, whenever, you know, the conditions changed, she would make the lift. So maybe she got nervous about being in front of somebody. Well, once that somebody was gone, all of a sudden she could make the lift. Maybe she got nervous on that day of training because she knew it was coming, but then later in the week we threw it in as a surprise and she crushed it. So she's been working on that, and just today she benched 145 pounds for a set of two, which is freaking awesome. I'm very happy for her. So she's benching her freaking body weight and, you know, doing great at 63 years old. So shout out to her for being awesome. But it just goes to show that that's one of the components we can look for when we're trying to develop strength. There's technique, physical, and mental. Well, if you miss a lift, what was the point of that lift? If the point of that lift was to refine your technique, well, if you stayed within good technique, but you just physically couldn't move it, it's not that bad of a thing. You know, go down in weight, make sure you kind of get back to a weight that you can do with good form, and then do a couple extra sets and refine the form. Well, if your goal was to get physically stronger, well, you just used something, you tried something that was physically beyond your current abilities, your abilities of today. Therefore, that's sending a signal to your body to create better abilities. If your body could not do it today, it will go home and with proper sleep and proper food. It will adapt to that stimulus. Now, we know it'll adapt because we keep, due to our training routine and schedule and whatnot, we keep putting that same stress load over and over and over again on the body. If it's just a one-time lift, our body doesn't make much adaptation to that. But if we repeat that stimulus over and over and over, it will adapt because that's what it's made to do. That's what their bodies do. So we know if we put a repeated stimulus and we give it repetitive recovery ability or adjustment ability via food and sleep, you know, in relation to progression in training, we know our body will progress and it'll get better. So if your goal was physical strength out of this, but you missed a lift, you probably did okay. You probably still provided that physical stimulus. It was just maybe a little bit more aggressive than what you would normally do. So if you walked away without an injury, you're fine. That's okay. You can always reduce weight, do a couple extra sets if you want to kind of hammer home the good technique along with a little more extra like physical damage work. But in general, if you missed the lift, but the whole point of the lift was to test you physically, congratulations, you did it. Just because the lift wasn't completed the exact way you wanted, doesn't mean that you missed out on the physical stress. You did miss out on that number. You can't say you did the number, but you did get physical stress. So if that was your goal, you did great. If your goal was mental confidence, say you got under the lift, you lifted fully confident with a full intention of getting the lift, but all of a sudden, boom, we died in the middle of it. Well, you want to celebrate yourself. Not actually condemn yourself. Don't be mad at yourself. Don't get into negative self-talk. If you missed the lift, congratulate yourself for the fact that you tried it. The fact that you got under that bar, or, you know, if it's deadlift, you got over the bar. But the fact that you put in the effort and you attacked it with good mental courage, you did great. You did exactly what would have happened if the lift would have been completed. You got under it, you attempted it, you tried it, you did great. So we don't need to beat ourselves up in those situations. We're actually accomplishing what the intent was. Now, if your goal was not strength, maybe you're not a strength athlete, and you say, well, I wanted 10 reps because I need to increase my volume, my progressive overload volume for bigger muscles. Maybe that's your goal. Or maybe your goal was endurance. One thing to keep in mind is that if you physically failed the lift, you tried, you just physically couldn't do it. That would have been the intent of what your goal was anyhow. If your goal was 10 to 14 reps with the intent that within 10 to 14 reps at a given weight, you would reach muscular failure. The purpose is muscular failure. If you reached muscular failure at, say, 9 reps rather than 10, who cares? It's so dang close to the rep range, it's not going to make much of a difference. So rep ranges are ranges for a purpose, like on purpose, I guess, is if I do something for 10 reps, I know that that's, you know, at least the intent or the idea behind it is for that duration of time, a maximal stimulus, physical stimulus, would get me X results. So time under tension is related to rep ranges. Those are kind of like the point of a rep range is to identify a time under tension that you want. Time under tensions are then related to the result that you get from them. If you listen to podcast 220 way back when, we explain that kind of connection. So check that out, or you can choose an email if you can't find that link, but it's podcast 220. The whole idea is, if we place a muscular stress on a muscle, we place a stress load on the muscle for a prescribed amount of time, we know that different amounts of time have different results. A very short duration can have like a strength effect, and that would be, say, you know, 20 seconds or less. It's within that range. If we do something 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension and the muscles physically fail, that usually causes a lot of muscular damage. So it leads more so to growth if we have proper food and sleep. If we do something at, say, 60 seconds or longer, that has more of a muscular endurance effect. So the endurance of our muscles will actually improve. We know that these ranges of time have different results. So therefore, the idea of a rep range is it's just a specific time that we believe will put you, it's a specific range that we believe will put you in the time that we want. So if we think of something being 10 reps, and say the person is assuming it's going to take you 25 seconds, the person being whoever wrote the program for you, they assume maybe it's going to take you 25 seconds to do 10 reps if you're doing it very slow and controlled. That's kind of an extreme example. If you're throwing it around and being a jackass and just kind of not paying attention to what you're doing, you might be done in 10 seconds. Or if you're doing it explosively on purpose, maybe you're done in 10 seconds. But the time under tension range is actually what we're looking for. And since the range happens in seconds, not like from 19 to 20, the exact outcome changes. It's a spectrum of change over different times. So for example, we know 10 to 20 seconds is going to give you a strength progression, but it's also going to create muscle damage, which then leads to muscular growth. But we also know that the range of 30 to 40 is less stressful in the joints, but you still get the muscle growth. So it depends on what kind of combination of the effects that you want. All of that is to say that if you miss something by a rep or two or even three, it's not that big of a deal in the sense that it's not going to change much about the outcome. You still provided the stimulus, you're still going to get the outcome, assuming you eat and sleep like you should. The other component is, as long as you're missing the lift but not getting injured, it's okay. I'm not saying it's okay that you should keep doing this. You absolutely should adjust your numbers and kind of correct the issue. But missing a lift is not like that you missed all of the results. You will still get the results in 99.9% of the cases. You're just not going to get them from the outcome that you intended. It's a missed lift, but you're still going to get the outcome. Okay? So you're going to get the outcome you intended, but not in the intended way. So, if you miss a lift, don't worry. As long as you didn't get hurt, you survived it, you had the mental courage to try it, good for you. Reduce some weight, and maybe do that set of effort or that bout of effort again, but end it successfully for positive mindset and just a little more stimulus for the change that you wanted. But don't beat yourself up. If you miss the lift, you miss the lift. Oh well. Reassess. Maybe it was a technique issue. Maybe you're just kind of not eating enough. You're not sleeping enough. You're worn out. Maybe the program doesn't have a correct amount of like workload volume based on your individual recovery ability. So you might need a more personalized program. But these are some things to think through. And I just want to kind of give you permission to not beat yourself up if you miss a lift. It's okay. You probably still accomplished what that lift was intended for. Great. Now, if you have any other questions, you can always email us at brittleirongym@gmail.com. If you think you might miss the lift because of technique, you can post a video on Instagram, use the hashtag BigFormCheck, and we'll actually review it for you for free. So we're just trying to build up that hashtag and just be nice to people and help people. So I just want to provide information to you if you'd like your form checked. We'd be happy to check it. You just got to let us know by including that hashtag BigFormCheck. Cool. Okay, if you need anything else from us, check out our website, which is www.brittleirongym.com. And I really sincerely appreciate you listening to the podcast. Thank you to those who are the patrons of the podcast who help financially support the podcast. The podcast is not free by any means whatsoever, but I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. And it's thanks to the patrons that we can continue doing this. That way it's not an extreme loss for the gym. I love doing community service. I love doing reach out things, but it's all within what I can afford and still stay in business. So thank you to the patrons who help support us so we can still keep doing this. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Okay. Thank you to everybody. If you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people's lives we can positively influence. And that's an awesome thing. You can share it on social media. You can share it in a conversation, text, email, whatever. Anything you want to do that'll help share the podcast, we really appreciate. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always love to hear from you. The podcast is for you. So we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.